The thing is, we're thinking too hard about should we go or shouldn't we go to the gym, or should we do it or shouldn't we do it. And that part's the painful part. Once you get started and you can envision yourself being finished, you have to put that in your head and make it your job. And envision your feeling after, and it's got to be a priority, or else you're never gonna go.
That was Ella Majors, and this is episode 26 of the Namely Marley podcast. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Namely Marley podcast. I'm Marley. The goal of this podcast is to focus on adding a little creative, healthy, and passion-filled living to your day every day. Each week, I'm sharing interviews, thoughts, and stories about passion-filled living. This covers things like diet, plant-based eating, creativity, authenticity, you name it. Everything to help us learn what it takes to live our life to our best potential. I think those are easy words to say and not always easy to do. I hope this podcast helps. Today, I'm talking with Ella Majors. She's otherwise known as the Sexy Fit Vegan, and she's also author of several books, including her latest, Sexy Fit Abs. Who doesn't want that? Sign me up. I think this interview is so important because I think sometimes the world has created a stereotype of vegans to be these crunchy granola Birkenstock wearing folks. I'm not even sure Birkenstocks are actually vegan. I think they're made with leather. But anyway, there are several people I think showing that vegans come in all different shapes and sizes and personality types. There are people like Rich Roll, Brandon Brazier, and Ella Majors that show that you can be completely fit and also vegan. Ella is a certified personal trainer, but she also has a master's degree in social work. I think those two together are so great because, you know, anytime we're out there trying to make some big lifestyle changes like adding more exercise or, you know, learning how to eat better, I think those things really touch on a lot of behavioral issues, and having this master's degree in social work, I think really helps Ella have a good understanding of the dynamics behind behavioral change. So we talk about the reasons Ella became vegetarian first and then vegan later. We also talk about what are the hardest foods to give up when you're going on a vegan diet, and, you know, also how your taste buds kind of magically change, and then, you know, we adapt and learn to love the new foods that we're eating. So it's pretty cool. We also talk about the work that Ella does with her clients and what caused her to write this book and how it can help people improve their lives and fitness on a vegan plant-based diet. It's a great interview, and I can't wait to share it with you. In fact, let's get straight to it. Here's today's feature interview with Sexy Fit Vegan, Ella Majors. Hey everyone, I'm happy to have Ella Majors, who's the vegan author of the blog Sexy Fit Vegan, and she's also author of the book The 6 Weeks to Sexy Abs Meal Plan. Ella, welcome to the Namely Marley podcast.
It is great to be here, Marley.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you. And I'm really looking forward to talking with you today because, you know, well, who doesn't want sexy abs? And so that's, you know, I'm really looking forward to learning. Looking forward to learning some more from you on that. But first, I thought, if you don't mind, if we could go into a little bit of your background. I mean, could you talk about how long you've been vegan?
Absolutely. My story kind of starts when I was 7 years old. I was in the first grade, and I got home from school. We had learned about Daniel Boone. I don't know if you know who Daniel Boone is, but he's the kind of American folk hero. And I said to my mom, I said, this guy was so mean. He had a gun, and he shot animals, and he ate them and wore them. And I was like, this guy is terrible. And my mom was just honest with me. I'm really lucky that she said, Ella, nowadays we just get to go to the grocery store, and we pay someone else to do that part. And it was at that moment that I connected the food on my plate with the actual animal that it came from. Wow. And when I discovered that, the light bulb went off, and I said, I am never doing that again. And literally, I never ate meat again.
And you were 7?
I was 7 years old. So I have some deep connection to animals that developed very early.
And how was your mom supportive of that?
Yeah, they were kind of thinking it would be a phase. So, yes. You know, I ate the side dishes when we had dinner together, and you know, she finally figured out that I wasn't going to change, and my parents were both very supportive of me being who I am, and kind of being straight about what I care about.
Well, I just can't even imagine the, you know, kind of fortitude that a child would have to make some decision like that. I'm impressed by that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I've always been a very strong-willed person, and standing up for what I believe in is really important to me.
Yes, I love that. I think I grew up with too much the people pleaser inside of me that I just admire people that from such a young age could figure something out like that and stand up for themselves. I admire kids that can do that. That's really cool.
Thanks.
Yes, and so then somehow that turned into you a love of also nutrition and wellness as well.
Yeah, so when I was about 15, I kind of learned the connection between the dairy, egg, and meat industries, and that's when I became vegan. But sports has always been, and being active has always been a part of my life. So when I was 5 years old, I started on the swim team and the gymnastics team, and I just started moving. And once I started moving, there was no stopping me. So I've always been very active and promoting that lifestyle to help people feel good. I know how good it makes me feel to get that sweat in and make your body do things that it might not normally do, and get that high and then just to be healthy from it. So that's something that's just been a part of my life for a really long time. And then eventually I said, you know what, this is what I'm meant to do, is to help people be healthy, get fit, and to introduce this plant-based diet to the mainstream.
I love that. And I actually have some questions for you coming up in a minute about the fitness part of things, because I think it's such an interesting point that how easy it is to forget about how good it makes us feel, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
But so you talked about the transition from going from vegetarian to vegan. I'm just curious, were there some foods that were really hard to give up?
Cheese. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And back then, and I think that's the most common yeah. food that people are like, I don't want to give up pizza.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Who wants to give
don't make
up?
Me give up pizza. Yeah.
Yeah.
And back then when I was, this was quite a long time ago. This was, gosh, 20 years ago. And there was really no substitute, you know. Now
yes.
we have so many vegan options coming out. It's hard to miss cheese or miss meat anymore. But back then it was, the stuff that came out was disgusting, I have to be honest with you.
The
so
melt,
I really
it, yeah.
just, yeah, it didn't melt exactly. It's just really recently that the vegan cheese started melting. Have you noticed that?
Yes, and in fact, I read somewhere that they're saying 2016 is the year of the vegan cheese.
I heard that too.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting?
It is exciting. There's all kinds of products there. Cashew based, and so they're full of fat and really just like regular teas. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so it's just, it makes it easy. Not that that's the healthiest food in the world, but it definitely makes it easier to make the transition.
Yeah.
To know that you don't have to give up the flavor and the feel and the texture of cheese. But yeah, back then, so there weren't many substitutes I could use, not many processed vegan foods that tasted any good. So I feel kind of lucky about that, because then I pretty much learned to eat a whole food vegan diet, not
yes.
just a vegan diet. But I learned how to do that in a way that was delicious and satisfying to me. And so I feel lucky about being able to do that. And that's a contribution I can make, is the whole foods, not just the vegan part, but learning how to eat whole foods as well.
Well, it sounds like you had this real passion about animals, but I'm also curious if there wasn't something else that happened. Like, in other words, did you realize that you felt so great that helped make the transition stick?
Yeah. So I was, I was 15 years old and doing lots of sports. And I think making that final switch, just giving up the dairy, just makes you feel better.
Yeah.
The meat's one thing, and meat can make you feel heavy and really screw with your digestion, but so can dairy. So
right.
to be able to go from no meat to no dairy and eggs is a major transition, and it makes you feel really, really good. So I do remember that being a great change for me, both in my energy and how I felt, as well as, doing it for the animals.
Yes. And I noticed that it seems that you got a certification in personal training. Is that right?
Yeah. So I wanted to help people with the fitness side of things. And I got a certification with the National Academy of Sports Medicine. which is a widely recognized certification, and started working in health clubs doing some personal training and group exercise instruction and working with people one-on-one to get not only just for the workout, but to get motivated and to make a plan and structure so that they could succeed.
But I also noticed that you have a master's in social work. Is that right?
Yes. I'm like, it feels like I'm all over the place, but I'm not, because they're all connected. Everything's so connected. Yeah. Working with other people and being able to relate to other people is such an important aspect of helping people.
Right.
So not only do you need the knowledge about the physical part and the knowledge about the nutrition part, you need to know how to talk to people about it and how to invite people to welcome that change.
Well, and the whole behavior modification, that's huge.
Yeah, it is. It's about making that connection and learning how to relate to people.
And so somewhere along the way, you decided to start a blog. And I'm just curious if you could talk a little bit about what people can find when they go to your blog.
Yes, I do a little bit of everything. I was really focused on fitness for a little bit. I kind of put the vegan thing just off to the side. I would introduce it to people, but not really get into the heart of it. And people were not getting results. So people were coming up to me, and clients even, and it was frustrating. It was frustrating to the client. It was frustrating to me that the last few pounds that most people carry around, that's so common, is really hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
And no matter how hard you're working out, and you're working your ass off, and that's a very frustrating feeling to not be able to get those last few pounds off. So that's when I said, I really miss talking about the nutrition and the vegan side of things, and I'm not afraid to tell people about the animal part of it. And, you know, once you know, you can't not know, and it's hard to know.
Yes.
But then once you know, that can act as a motivation on top of your own health. Sometimes it's hard to do something for your own health, but when you're looking at doing it for another being, that can actually be a really good motivating factor. So I just started that, and I said, so let me do something that's going to invite people, the mainstream, all over the place, and especially in South Beach, where it's kind of sexy and you've got the going out lifestyle, and people don't relate that to being vegan. And it's hard to say that person's sexy, fit, and vegan. And I wanted to connect all those things. So I made Sexy Fit Vegan my website and started a blog that I just kind of cover little bit of everything I think people would be interested in to help make it really easy to eat plant-based. I do product reviews. I invite guests to blog about their stories and how they're doing it, because everybody's got something to offer. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I noticed that you provide recipes in addition to, like, you know, reasons why you should be vegan, and a lot of good encouraging content.
Well, thank you. Yes. Well, I have to say, your blog is really incredible, too.
Oh, thanks.
It's very impressive. I liked it.
Well, I appreciate that. So let's talk about your book, because, you know, I know there's a lot of us that are wanting those nice flat abs. And I'm just curious, is that one of the reasons that inspired you to write your book?
Yeah, like I said, with the clients that we're not getting the results, and it's always those last few pounds when somebody says, I'm working out really, really hard. I don't know how I can work out any harder. And I'm eating healthy. But what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know what that means? You know, everybody's got a different idea about
they
what
do.
Eating healthy is.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's totally understandable, because there's so many different diets out there and experts saying different things.
I know, like one day you see low fat, and the next day you read, oh, high fat, like 70 to 80% fat. It's crazy.
Exactly.
Yes.
You do low fat, high fat, low carb, high carb.
Yes.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Yep.
It's confusing. So I kind of combine all the information into my own kind of take on it, and what I know to be true from my experiences, and also from doing just really general research on with people that I really trust, like Dr. Michael Greger.
Yes.
He's one of my resources. And
he's going to be on the show.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yes.
Oh, it's so exciting. I'll have to tell you about the cruise that's next month that he's also going to be on.
Ah,
But let
great.
me stay focused. But yeah, Neil Barnard, I could go on forever. All these people that really have come out with the latest scientific evidence about fish
Yes.
and what's good for your body, and that aren't getting sponsored by huge companies.
Yes.
And so the money's not what's motivating them. So I kind of took that and made, and then also my experience in the fitness industry, because a lot of those people are not so into being a really fit person in terms of looking fit and having abs and lifting some heavier weights and feeling good in that way. So I took that all and combined it into this book and kind of gave guidelines of what this plan is all about. And so that you can use these guidelines when I talk about what we will do as part of the diet, like increase the amount of nutrient-dense foods we consume and eliminate refined sugars from our diet. And then I do a whole list of those and then a whole list of what we won't do. And we don't calorie count in this book. And we don't replace animal products with empty calorie foods. And we don't feel hungry all the time. And that's a worry. That's a concern for a lot of people.
It is,
And
yeah.
yeah, so I give some what we will do's and what we won't do's, and then some guidelines to follow in terms of about how much of each kind of food. So you've got how much greens should you be eating a day, which is pretty much fill your plate as much as you can with greens. But also to add legumes in your diet especially if you're looking to build muscle, the more protein you get, the more muscle you can build. But you can do that with a whole foods diet as well.
Right.
So I talk about your goals, and I just try to make it easy, and we do it very structured and one step at a time. And I have an actual 6 weeks worth of meals and a structure for eating those meals, because a lot of times it's just you can't do it on a daily basis thinking you're going to change, because you will revert back to bad habits. It's just
Yeah.
human. Most people have been eating a certain way their entire lives, and to think that that's going to change tomorrow without help is not going to happen.
Well, and I find
I
a
mean,
lot of
good for you
people,
if you can, but
yeah, exactly. I find a lot of people like kind of some rigid information. In other words, like, they don't want to have to think through this or that. The fact that you provide meal plans is pretty nice because that way they don't have to guess at stuff.
exactly. And I try to make it easier by giving at the beginning of each week, there's a grocery list. I have a grocery list of staples that you should just keep in your house at all times, so you never get to that emergency, I'm starving, what do I eat? I only have crappy food in the house
Yeah.
stage. So I give staples a whole list. I talk about ingredients that you might not know about, like farro. And most people know about quinoa now, but I give a whole list of foods that are easy to introduce into your diet that you might not know about, and tell you why those are great things to introduce. And they're easy to find now. Nothing I have in the book is super complicated. It's all really simple and easy to follow. And I also give a supplemental workout plan.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. Do you provide fitness in there as well?
Yeah, so it's mainly focused on diet and recipes, which there are over 100 of them. But I also give a supplemental. If I say if you're loving your workout routine right now and you get a good variety of, weights and cardio, and you're loving what you're doing, continue doing that by
Yeah.
all means. But if you need some structure there too, I do give a daily regimen of what you can do to. In those 6 weeks, especially. I mean, it's pretty intense, but in those 6 weeks, to make a huge change in your body.
Wow, I just heard 100 recipes and my head stopped there. I mean, that is a lot of recipes. I mean, I'm just curious, did you ever struggle with sticking to your own personal health and fitness goals while you were testing all those recipes?
Oh, sure. Yes, I'm human like everybody else. I definitely overate during that time. I was developing, I really spent a couple of months in the kitchen, really trying to get recipes that were going to be easy for people, but also very satisfying and delicious and flavorful. So yeah, no, I was sampling all my stuff, and if I messed up, I'd have to start again, sample
Yes.
again. But luckily, I have lots of friends and family that I made do some recipes to and taste test for me, so I didn't have to do it all myself.
That's good. It's definitely helpful to have people help with the recipe testing and eating.
Oh my God, I had my 90, I think she's 96, 95, 96-year-old grandmother cutting carrots. in the kitchen in Philadelphia, and I'm in Miami, and she's on the phone saying, Ella, this is a lot of carrots, and she quadrupled the amount of carrots in the recipe for some reason.
Yeah.
So she was sitting there cutting carrots forever. I don't know. She's 96, yeah. But she's like, too many carrots. I said, no, Mimi, it's not that many carrots. Don't worry. It was just funny. Yeah.
That is really funny. So how often do you recommend working out for the average individual?
It depends on what you're doing. I really recommend having a rest, at least one, you know, full rest day every week. Recovery is just as important as the workouts. And I would say personally that's my challenge because I'm in the fitness industry and I'm kind of at the gym and doing in the park a lot doing workouts. I tend to forget to take a day off. But that's really important, the recovery part. But doing something fun like kickboxing, or I'm a Muay Thai kickboxer, so that's my favorite form of activity for the last 10 years. So whether it's doing that, kickboxing classes or spin classes, to find a variety of classes, or if you like to run, making sure you also get weights in. And then yoga and stretching is really important too, especially as you get older. If you're not incorporating all these different types of exercise, you're not going to get the full benefit of an exercise routine.
Yeah, that's really good. And especially, it seems to me like more and more people are in jobs that are really sedentary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the posture goes and...
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to sit up straighter now, now that you said that.
Right. Oh, me too. I just reminded myself. Yeah, no, absolutely. Making sure you have the ergonomically correct chairs. And because, yeah, sitting at a desk all day is really bad for you.
I know. Do you ever have days that you're at a desk all day?
Oh yeah, no, I do, and it's. I have to say, I don't like it. I'm writing a blog all day, yeah, but I'll get up and, you know, in the middle of the day, take that time for a jog or something to get out and stand up and stretch. I do have I have a yoga mat I just put in my living room, so if I need to, if I'm feeling tense and it's just important to make that a priority, or else you will sit there all day and your health will definitely suffer for it.
I love that. That's a great idea to have these kind of reminders to yourself. Like, for example, in my office, I have one of those stair step things. And so, you know, if I'm just reading something, or if I'm talking to somebody on the phone, I could go over and take a few steps. You know, even if it's not much, it just keeps me moving.
Absolutely. It keeps your body active and going.
Yeah.
Once you sit there forever, you get tight. And it's harder to start back also after you're sitting all day.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's great. Good for you with the stair stepper.
Thank you. Do you have any other like home hacks? Like, okay, so I'll be honest with you. My toothbrush is one of those ones that goes for 2 minutes and you switch around your teeth. And so I'll do like leg lifts as I'm brushing my teeth. My husband always laughs at me. But do you have
that's
any kind
awesome.
Of... Thanks. Do you have any like home hacks like that you can use to get, you know, keep moving?
Well, I have a stripper pole in my living room.
Oh, okay.
never,
That's interesting.
Never done poles. When that first pole dancing fitness craze came out, I said, that looks like fun. And I ordered a pole and a video and I learned, and I actually ended up teaching pole dancing at Crunch, the gym, for a little bit back in the day. But yeah, no, finding a piece of equipment like that is really, really helpful if you can have a little space to put it in. And even if it has to become part of your furniture, it's that important that that's a great thing to have. So whether it's a pole
or a yoga mat,
a spin bike or a yoga mat with a few weights, and then finding YouTube videos, these are things you can do at home. You just have to set yourself up to do them. And
right.
If you don't make yourself a schedule, put it on and say, whatever is going on at 1 o'clock p.m., I don't care. I'm stopping. This is important to me. And I'm going to go do 15 minutes of stretching, and then I'll eat healthy for 15 minutes, all 30 minutes to do something good for myself.
Yeah.
You know, but making that a habit and a no-excuse policy. Because it's so easy to excuse yourself from those things, saying you're working and I don't have time. But you do.
Yes.
You make
and
time.
This last minute thing has come up and I've got to get that done. Or the next thing you know, you've been on Facebook for 30 minutes and you meant to be on there for five. And that 30 minutes, you could have been working out.
There's always something. There's always something. There's always going to be something.
I think I liked what you were talking about earlier about how good you feel after a workout. And I wonder if that's something that, well, I know that it's easy to forget about that. You know, that when I work out, I feel amazing. And so why do we forget about that?
You're right. And the thing is, we're thinking too hard about should we go or shouldn't we go to the gym, or should we do it or shouldn't we do it. And that part's the painful part. Once you get started and you can envision yourself being finished, you have to put that in your head and make it your job to go to the gym or to do your stretching or whatever you're doing, and envision your feeling after. And it's got to be a priority, or else you're never gonna go.
Now, sometimes I will tell you, I do spin class two mornings a week, and it's a really tough class, and I love it. And then in the summers, we play tennis, but you know, it's impossible to play, right? It's snowing outside right now. So
you're in Kansas?
I'm in Missouri. Uh-huh. Yeah.
In Missouri. Okay.
Yeah. And so sometimes I feel like after I exercise, I am more hungry. Is that common?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good time to eat something healthy. After you work out, because your body's, it's going, and whatever you put in it, if it's a healthy, if it's not empty calories, it's going to go towards changing your body and start to recover. That recovery process takes nutrition. So nutrition is more related to fitness than we even think.
Wow.
Because that's how we recover. And if your muscles don't recover, you're not going to change your body.
Yes.
So yeah, no, that's common, and that's okay, because you're burning calories, you're increasing your metabolism, and the more lean muscle you are building, the higher your metabolism will be, meaning even if you're taking a break and sitting on the couch watching TV, you're burning more calories the more muscle you have. So building lean muscle, that doesn't mean bulking up.
Right.
You know, a lot of women are very afraid of bulking up, and lifting weights is one of the things we need to be doing. And unless you're taking steroids and lifting, you know, 500 pounds, you're not gonna bulk up, basically.
And I think honestly, women with strong arms, it's very attractive anyway.
Well, I agree. No, strong arms. Yeah, it's just a common concern that people come to. I teach a Muay Thai spin class, and we do spin half the time, and kickboxing half the time on the bag.
Yeah,
and it's an intense, fun class. But I do get a lot of women, and especially younger women, that want to ask me how much weight they should use because they're afraid to get bulky. Not just, but they said, I want arms like yours. I'm like, well, I lift weights, you know?
Yes.
So that's why, and that's part of the reason I wanted to do my website, is because I want to show people that you can't tell how compassionate I am from looking at me, but you can tell that I'm fit. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's why I wanted to get this website out there. And if that's what attracts people, saying, oh, she looks great and I want to look like her, what do you do? And I say, oh, I eat a plant-based diet and do these workouts. And then it'll help motivate people and inspire people. And that's what I'm all about.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You talk about the plan that you've got, and you mentioned something about limiting sugar. I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit, because I think sometimes people get confused with refined sugar and the sugar that's found in something like fruit.
100%. So fruit is great for you. Don't let anybody tell you any different.
Yes.
Eat fruit. Eat fruit.
Lots
so
of
I
it.
Have in my plan every day, if you want a piece of fruit for a snack in the morning or in the afternoon, have a piece of fruit, have some fruit. As long as you're eating the whole fruit, you're getting all the fiber too.
Yeah.
And that is not going to, it's going to help your body have energy, but it's not going to make you fat. So that's the concern. Fruit's going to make you fat. No, it's got so many great nutrients. It's a nutrient dense food, and we need to eat it. We want to eat it. So,
and it's got that good fiber in it too, right?
Exactly. The fiber and your blood sugar does not raise. They've found now that your blood sugar does not raise from fruit.
Wow.
From refined sugars, absolutely yes, but no, not with the fruit. And from fruit juices that are not fresh, especially, that's another way to get sugars that are not good, because the nutrients are no longer there once the juice has been sitting on the shelf for a long time. So we really want fresh fruit to eat, and no refined sugars. And that's so hidden, the ingredients can be so hidden. So I do give a list of ingredients to watch out for because it doesn't necessarily say sugar.
Yes.
It might say, yeah, high fructose corn syrup, you know, all these, you know, names that you might
Sucrose
not know.
So and fructose. Yeah,
Yeah, and then the artificial, artificial ones that are so bad for us. So I use a lot of, I do have what I call tantalizing treats in as part of the plan because we all like something sweet sometimes. So we do the tantalizing treats with, and I use a lot of fruit, and also dates are a really good natural sweetener.
Oh, I love dates. Yeah.
Oh, me too. You know what? I was scared of them at first because they look a little scary.
Yeah, they do look scary.
Like, I don't want to eat that. But yeah, once you figure it out, they're delicious and they're great in raw food desserts.
Yes.
And also I do a lot of blending. I do have a Vitamix. So a high-speed blender is really a helpful kitchen tool, which is another thing. Getting your kitchen set up so that it makes it easy to prepare foods that are delicious and healthy. So I have a Vitamix that I use, and a great treat is blending frozen banana with fruit or raw cacao powder.
Oh,
and
that's good
stuff. Yeah, I've got a couple different recipes, even avocado and cacao powder, and you blend that in the blender, and you've got something that tastes like frozen yogurt. It's
it's amazing,
equally
isn't
as good
it?
As, yes. It's amazing, and it's 100% whole food.
Yes.
It's just crazy, and it takes 5 minutes.
Yeah.
5 minutes, literally 5 minutes, and we all have 5 minutes.
Yes.
So those are the kinds of recipes that I have in the book because I want everybody, no matter how busy you are, and to be able to fulfill this action plan.
It's nice to know that if you crave something sweet like that, you know, that you've got that base covered. It sounds like, you know, your book is going to be providing all those kinds of options. It's a pretty good thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's doable, you know?
Yeah.
It's not so scary. It's doable.
Definitely. I love it. So let's talk a little bit about some of the resources that you, do you have any personal resources for nutrition? And you talked about Dr. Greger's site, which is nutritionfacts.org. Are there some others that you go to for vegan nutrition?
Oh, sure. There are a lot. I'm trying to think of some of them. With the Physician Committee for Responsible Medicine.
Yes.
Is a really good one. No, that's a good one for really getting to the heart of the science because it's a huge, huge group of doctors on the website all working together to provide us with the latest research. So really between them and Dr. Greger's websites, in terms of websites, I think those are the two easiest and best websites to go to for the scientific part of nutrition. Yeah.
So what's your favorite advice to someone who's thinking about adopting either a vegetarian or vegan diet?
Don't think too hard. And because what people do is say, I couldn't be vegan. I couldn't do it. You don't have to do it right now. Don't even think about going 100% vegan for the rest of your life. Don't go there. Let's start right now, right where you are, and start to make some changes. Either, you know, get a book like this where you can have an exact structure to follow, or make your own if you need to. And every week you substitute something that's an animal product with something that's a plant product. And so you're not feeling like I'm just giving up. Giving up something every week. I'm also adding something every week to my diet that's amazing.
Yeah.
So then you can slowly, week by week, transition out of it. But don't think too hard about having to do it all tomorrow on your own, especially.
I can just imagine this person who feels a little stressed out about like figuring out what they're going to eat the rest of their life. And if they could just relax and just realize they don't have to think out their whole life in this one moment.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Start right now. And right here and get support. Find people that are going through similar things or that already are vegan and are not pushy vegans. They're just helpful vegans.
Yes.
And to support you.
That's very good. So what's coming up next for you? Is there more books coming out on the horizon or anything else that you can share?
Yeah, I'd love to do another book. So hopefully that's coming out before too long. But also I'm not sure when this is coming out, but the end of February, there's the most fantastic cruise going on out of Miami called the Holistic Holiday at Sea. And Dr. Michael Greger, Colin Campbell, and Dr. Barnard are all
on this ship
Wow.
doing lectures. There's like hundreds of fitness and nutrition classes and cooking classes and workshops. Plus, you're going around the Caribbean, and I was invited to come and do a book signing on the ship. So that was very exciting, and I'm really looking forward to it. I actually met Robert Cheek, if you don't know who that is. That's probably the most popular vegan bodybuilder for a very long time, and he writes books, and he goes around on tours speaking. And I met him last night at Brendan Brazier's, who created Vega, his book launch party last night, and I met Robert Cheek for the first time, and he said he's been going on this cruise for 6 years. This is his 6th year going on this cruise, and it's his absolute favorite event. So that was really comforting and exciting to know, because it's a week-long cruise, but I cannot wait. I'm so excited about going on that. Yeah.
Oh, that's
And then I've got
great.
A lot going on my website and on the social media. I've got some challenges coming up, and following me on social media is a good way to connect and see all the events coming up.
Excellent. So I just have a couple of fun questions here at the end of the interview.
Okay.
Okay. So what's one food item you can't live without?
Avocado.
And how do you like your avocado? Like the traditional guacamole, or do you do something different with it?
Guacamole. On every salad, almost every salad, I want avocado. It just adds such a nice creamy texture to everything. And also using it now for puddings. Now you can use it for dessert. So what can avocado not do?
Yeah, it's you can great. Bake with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is pretty amazing. I love that. That's good. Sometimes I'll just mash up an avocado and put a little bit of nutritional yeast flake in it and some salt.
Yum.
And I spread that over toast or whatever. It's so good.
Oh, that sounds, yes, fantastic. And sandwiches. Oh,
yes.
Delicious. So good. You're making my mouth water.
I know, me too. And I just ate and I'm already getting hungry again now. No, I'm kidding. Do you have, you mentioned that you really like, did you say you like kickboxing?
Yeah.
So do you have a second favorite workout?
Oh, let's see. After Muay Thai, kickboxing, I would say circuit boot camp-ish training. So I don't know if you know what the battling ropes are. One set up with battling ropes. You've got body weight exercises like push-ups, pull-ups, lots of body weight stuff. And burpees. I'm a big burpee fan. I'm making my client right now do 100 burpees a day, and she's hating me, but she's also kind of starting to like them, which happens. It's like a love-hate relationship. So you with burpees, I did a burpee challenge. I do a burpee challenge every year. So we had ours before the holidays came this year, and it was pretty intense, but so good, and everybody's out to support each other. So yeah, I'd say the circuit training with different body weight exercises, the ropes, the battling ropes are super fun. Outside too, by the way.
So you can get some vitamin D while you're out there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I live in Miami, so I forget that you guys are, sometimes I forget that you're in the cold waiting for horrible snow. And
yes.
So I'm sorry, I forget sometimes, but yeah, I think that's why I live in Miami, because I want to be able to do that year round. It's important to me.
That is very nice to be able to have that option. So, okay, so tell me what inspires you.
People who don't care about what other people think and stand up for what they believe in, hardcore. It's tough. I've done it, and I think especially the people that do it for the animals, for me personally, that kind of devote their lives to that, is a big deal. I led protests when I was as a teenager. I led protests. I was the head of some animal rights groups. I was thinking that if everybody just knew what was going on behind the closed doors of a factory farm, if people just knew, they would change for sure tomorrow. And that's what kind of a kid thinking mentality. But once I learned, I've kind of just changed my ways and how I can introduce this lifestyle. And there's been a lot of people along the way that have inspired me to keep going.
Oh, that's nice. And so in other words, you can find ways to speak your mind and be yourself, but do it in a way that other people can hear you as well.
Yeah. And even makes people curious enough to give it a shot. Yeah.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. So how can people find you online?
SexyFitVegan.com. from there. You can have Instagram, Sexy Fit Vegan, Facebook, Sexy Fit Vegan, and they're all the links are all on the website. So that's the best way. Amazon, my book is on Amazon right now. And
wonderful. Ella, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I've had a really great time.
Me too, Marley. I really appreciate you having me.
Thanks to Ella Majors for being my guest on today's episode of the Namely Marley podcast. If you'd like more information about today's show, just head over to the show notes page at namelymarley.com/podcast. Tune in next week as I talk to vegan author Drina Burton about her book, Plant-Based Families. If you're wondering how to get your kids enthused about eating more plants, I know that can be a real struggle. I've been there myself. And Drina shares some amazing tips on how you can get your kids involved in the kitchen. I am really looking forward to sharing this episode with you. I hope you're loving the Namely Marley podcast. If so, there are a few ways you can help support the show. You can head over to iTunes or Stitcher and leave a review. You can share this episode with your friends and family on social media, and you can share about it on your own blog or podcast. All of these are really helpful and they really mean a lot. So until next time, may health and happiness come your way today.